Blog Talk Radio.
This is Talking Brick with Mayor John Ducey.
Hi, this is Mayor John Ducey with Talking Brick. Thank you for joining me here today, and thank you for listening. It is a call-in show, so I want to remind everybody of the phone number. Please call in 347-426-3543 and ask any question you want. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of things that I'm not going to know the answer off the top of my head. I'm going to let you know that, and we're going to be able to take your information down, and I can get back to you in the future once I find out the answers. But hopefully I'll have the answers directly from whatever questions you might have today. So please call in. Any and all topics are open, and be happy to answer those questions. I do want to let you know about a few things going on around the town. We do have our annual rabies clinic. It's from 10 a.m. to noon on Sunday, February 25th, and that takes place over at the Drum Point Sports Complex. All pets are welcome. There's no charge at all for the rabies clinic, and no additional materials are needed. You just show up with your pets. Make sure that all the dogs are on a short leash, and you do have to clean up after the pets to keep our parks clean. But it's a nice free service that is provided. And also want to remind everybody that January is the month where you have to register your pets, get the pet license, the cat and dog licenses. So please come on into Town Hall in order to get the licenses for your pets. Also, there's a Mayor In Night, which the first one of the year is Tuesday, January 27th. It takes place 6 o'clock p.m., and we leave when the last person leaves. It's here at Town Hall, which is 401 Chambers Bridge Road, and it's in the Council Chambers, which is the AB room. And also available that night, in case you can't get down here during the day, when Town Hall is open on the normal business hours, that night, January 27th at 6 o'clock, the clerk's office will be open as well, in order so you know, everybody can pick up their pet licenses that particular night. The Mayor's In Night, just so you know how it works, we have basically all the department heads are in the room with me. Usually Debbie, who's my assistant, she goes around and she takes everybody's name in the order that you get there. And you don't necessarily have to stop in to see me. I'll be sitting there in the room. But if you really have a question that's specific for any of the department heads, you can go directly to them, and Debbie will direct you right over to whoever, you know, whichever need you need. So, for example, if you had some questions that you wanted to register one of your children for one of our summer programs, Dan Santanello, who's our director of recreation, will be there. And if you don't really need to meet me, you don't have to. You can go right to Dan and get your issue resolved and be out the door. But if you do want to meet me, of course, I am there, and I'm there to help answer all questions, much like this radio show. So whatever topics you have that night, again, I might not know the answer right there at the spur of the moment. And rather than try to make up an answer or try to answer it in a way that I you know, I think is right. If I don't know, I'm an honest guy, and I tell you, I don't know the answer to that. I'm gonna have to get back to you. But what does help with that situation at Mayor's In Night, at least, is we have the department head. So if I don't know the answer to, say, an engineering question, I can walk over to Alyssa Cummins, who's our in-house engineer, and you know, try to find out the answer for you, or you know, at least introduce you to her, and you can sit down and have your question answered directly by the department head. I want to make another announcement. It's dealing with seasonal and summer positions with recreation. Recreation is now accepting applications for summer positions, and they include camp counselor, and you have to be at least 15 years old for that job. Windward Beach maintenance, you have to be at least 15 years old for that job. Beach badge checkers, you have to be at least 16 years old. Lifeguards, you have to be at least 16 years old. And the township will train and certify. So if you're interested in becoming a lifeguard and you don't have your certification yet, that's okay, because the township will train and certify you for that lifeguard job. And that's for, you know, we have all the oceanfront. So it's you know, it's an exciting job that you could have if you're 16 years old or older. We're also seeking two tennis instructors. They have to be 18 or older, and that's for our summer tennis lesson program. And you don't have to come down here in person. You can go to recreation and pick up an application, or here at HR in Town Hall. but there's also an online application. It's available at bricktownship.net under the forms tab. So you can go there, you can fill out the application online, and you have to just take a look at how old you have to be for each of the different positions. And it's an open process. Dan Santinello, our recreation director, actually interviews for these. So it's not like the jobs are given to somebody automatically. So it's an interview application process and then an interview process. So please, anybody who's interested, or if your kids are interested, please have them apply. Tonight, we're looking at some bad weather, unfortunately. So the Brick Township Office of Emergency Management has let me know, so I can advise all of you, there's a winter weather advisory in effect from 11 a.m. this morning all the way until 10 o'clock tonight. And there's going to be snow. There's going to be sleet. There's probably going to be accumulations up to 2 to 4 inches, 4 to 5 inches to the south. So probably more of southern Ocean County would get 4 to 5. As far as the timing, I guess the snow is going to start sometime between 3 and 5 o'clock, and it's going to end between 9 and 11 o'clock. And the heaviest snow is going to come down between 6 and 8 o'clock. And the temperatures are going to be in the low to mid-30s, so obviously it's going to be definitely going to be a snow event tonight. And so please drive safe out there. It's going to be during our commute home. So hopefully we can keep all of our drivers safe out there and just drive a little bit slower. And there's also a forecast for more snow coming up this weekend. So we haven't had much snow to date. Hopefully we won't have anything of any type of major storm, but we do have this small one happening tonight and then more coming up this weekend. I'm going to take a look at some of the online questions, and they were posted on our Facebook page. The one was concerning a couple of parks which have the same problem. One of them is Bay Harbor Park, and the other one is Manor Drive or Cedar Bridge Manor Park. Both of those parks have erosion problems, so they're definitely not on our short list for getting new playground equipment, because we have to worry about the erosion factor first. Our engineering department is working on it. They're trying to come up with a plan. You're no longer allowed to put bulkheads in because the state has a law against that. So they're looking at different options, including like a boulder situation, or if you see the jetty rocks, and there's a couple other ideas being bounced around. But you don't want to put any playground equipment back in there until the erosion problems are solved. And I know that was I saw over at Cedar Bridge Manor how it was eroding. Even before Sandy, there was the bulkhead that was there. The water was washing up, and the land was washing under the bulkhead. So that's definitely a problem, and that's part of the reason why the playground equipment was taken down. But it was also flooded during Sandy, and so we're working on. We're keeping it as a passive park at this point. There's no plans for any playground equipment. We are working on the erosion issues in our engineering department, and we're going to have to put that into our capital budget in order to save the land from both of those parks from eroding away down into the water. So that's the plans for both Bay Harbor Park and Cedar Bridge Manor Park. There was also a question about potholes near the parkway interchange work here underneath the overpass right outside Town Hall on Chambers Bridge Road. Yep, that is a problem. It's unfortunately, it's a county road, but we did make a request for not only potholes over there on Chambers Bridge Road, but some also up by the other interchange that they're working on. And basically, the answer that was told to us by the Turnpike Authority is that they don't want to make any improvements to the road because they constantly have heavy equipment going over it, and it's any patching that they do is going to be ripped up right away. So we did, we're well aware of those potholes, and we did try to do as much as we can from a town point of view, but we're told that they're not going to make any improvements to the roads until after the project is, after the heavy equipment's done driving on there. I'm going to keep on making the same request, please fix those potholes, because the question that was posted on Facebook is definitely not the first time that we've heard this. In fact, most of our employees who work here in Town Hall have to drive through that pothole, so we hear it here internally as well as just from residents. And it's something we definitely would like to have fixed, and just not getting the right answers. Which also goes to the Burnt Tavern Road. Burnt Tavern Road has this seam that's running down it. It starts probably at Van Zyl and goes all the way out to Route 70. Might even start before Van Zyl. And few years ago, it was a small crack, and it just, because it hasn't been repaired, it just keeps getting larger and larger, and now it's basically a large groove, probably about 2 to 3 inches long, as well as, I'm not sure how deep it is, but I drive on Burnt Tavern every day, and I know about it. That, again, is a county road. Every January, it hasn't happened yet this January, I guess it's coming up towards the end of the month, the town has a sit down with the county engineering department, and we basically go in with a wish list of everything that we wish to see done with regards to the county roads, be it stop signs, traffic lights, potholes, paving, changes of intersections, curbing, sidewalks, all these things. We have a long wish list that we go to the county and we say, can you please, these are the things we need done. They're your roads. They're your problems, and we need them taken care of, because we get a lot of complaints from residents, and just personally, driving around town, you get to see the different aspects. Burnt Tavern was on that. Last year was the first year, as probably everybody knows, I was mayor. It was the first time I went to that meeting, and Burnt Tavern Road was on that list, and obviously wasn't done this past year. It's going to be on our list again when we go down, because it definitely is. It's getting worse over time. And it really forces you to drive either on the shoulder. So if you have somebody driving, riding a bike there along Burnt Tavern, you have to swerve into the other lane, or you have to drive in the other lane. There's like no way to stay in that, what you'd say, the slow lane or right lane, because you have this groove that's constantly pushing your tires to the other lane or towards the shoulder. So we're definitely aware of Burnt Tavern Road. And again, it's a county road. So we've made the request last year. We're going to make it again this year. Hopefully it's part of their capital budget for this year. There was a council meeting last night, so let me give out the phone number again, in case anybody wants to call in with any questions at all. It's 347-426-3543. I have no guests today, so I'm here by myself, so the more people who call, the more people I get to speak with. But I'll move on, because we don't have any calls yet, and we did have a council meeting last night, and we had a lot of important things on the agenda, but probably the most important in my mind was the amending of the Matitoconk Village Redevelopment Plan. And probably people are saying, what's Matitoconk Village Redevelopment? Well, what that is the food town site. Everybody calls it the food town site, so I'll call it that for the rest of the show here. But it actually, at some point, I guess we changed the name. The town changed the name when they did the redevelopment plan to Matitoconk Village, which sounds a lot better than the food town site. But for sake of people knowing what I'm talking about, I'll continue to call it the food town site until something gets there. But what we did is we had an ordinance on first reading to amend the redevelopment plan. And the reason for that amendment is to get rid of residential. The former plan, which has been in effect since 2006, it did require the redeveloper to build a hotel, and they could have built whatever else they wanted to, which included residential. They could have built up to 190 or so condos, as long as they built that hotel as well. And as we all know, they always refused to build that hotel, which was the main component of the redevelopment plan, and that's why we terminated the contract, the redevelopment plan, with them. But what we did last night, it's an ordinance on first reading. The way it works is ordinances have to have two readings. The first one, you get to introduce it to the council, introduces it and introduces it to the public, and there's no public comment or anything, and then you always need a second reading with an ordinance before it becomes law, and the second reading is where there's a public hearing. People get up and say what they think about it, whether it's a good idea, bad idea, et cetera, and then the council votes on it. So last night was only the first reading. And all it did was take out residential. Not only did it take out residential as a permitted use, it actually put residential in the prohibited uses column. There was a number of other prohibited uses, such as gas stations, drive-throughs, a number of other things that we don't want to see there. But we definitely have added now. Let me give you some of the other specifically prohibited uses. Automobile gas station, automotive or marine vessel repair shop, automotive body and paint shops, tire stores, car sales, or similar related auto repair or auto equipment installation businesses, drive-through sales, except for pharmacies and banks. We didn't want a parking lot there, fast food restaurant, And now what we added is a new one, which is letter G, residential uses. So residential uses includes apartments, condos, houses, anything else you can think of residential. That's no, it's not going to be allowed as long as it passes on second reading. Again, last night was first reading, and what happens is because this is a redevelopment plan, the actual amendment, which passed on first reading, now has to go over to the planning board for review. So they're going to review that at their next meeting, which I believe is January 27th. And then they're going to take a look at it. They vote on it, and they maybe recommend some changes, or they take a thorough look at it. They send it back to the council, and at our next council meeting, in our first council meeting in February, there will be the ordinance on second reading, and that's when it becomes law of the land, I guess, so to speak, for that. And that'll definitely that's definitely a big step. We do not want residential there. Too much traffic already. We don't need any more burden on our school systems. And just having residential in that area would just be a bad idea in general. And so I'm glad we're able to take it out of the plan. Also, in conjunction with that, there's something called the mixed-use overlay zone. Mixed use, and again, we voted on first reading, the council voted on first reading to eliminate that mixed-use overlay zone at the Foodtown site. And what a mixed-use overlay zone is, you'll see them popping up more and more in different towns, including ours behind the ShopRite. It's where you have retail on the bottom floor, and then you have residential on the top floor. So it's a mixed use. It's not just residential. It's not just retail or commercial. It's mixed. And we want to take that out, too, because, again, we do not want to see residential on the Foodtown site. So that was another ordinance on first reading. Again, that one also has to go to the planning board for their review. They send it back to the council. First meeting in February, they're going to be voting on second, and it's just another way to emphasize no residential at the Foodtown site. Some other things that went on last night, there was a couple grants which were big. The Governor's Council on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse grant, we authorized myself, the council authorized me to apply for that grant. That's a grant that has great use, and we're going to be able to use that through our BMAC program. We also I was authorized to apply for the Safe Secure Communities grant and also the Ocean County Tourism grant. These are grant opportunities. Grants are a great situation because they have the opportunity to use state money as opposed to taxpayer direct money. Now, a lot of people always say, well, grants come from somewhere. It does come from taxpayer money, but it comes from a much larger pool. Obviously, if it's a state grant, it comes from everybody in the entire state is putting into that grant, not just the township of Brick. So when we use that money, the Safe Secure Communities grant to help fund our police officers, for example, instead of that money directly dollar for dollar coming out of Brick residents, it's now spread across the entire state because everybody's paying a little portion towards that grant. So that obviously saves Brick taxpayers' money, not dollar for dollar, obviously, because you still are paying a small little portion for that grant. But when you're spreading it out between the whole state, it's a great thing. Again, the Ocean County Tourism County, rather dollar for dollar coming right out of Brick Township residents. So grants are an excellent opportunity to save taxpayers money, and there's three different grants. We've gotten them in the past, and we're going to continue to get them in the future as long as they're offered to us. We also had the opportunity, we appointed some alternate municipal prosecutor, somebody who's needed when the regular municipal prosecutor is sick or on vacation or can't make it for whatever reason. So we just added a couple names to that so that the current municipal prosecutor has some choices to choose from rather than just one or two people. There's now a larger pool. I think it's up to about five different attorneys that he can choose from. So, for example, if he gets sick, last moment and he tries to call one of the other people on the pool and let's say they're not available, now he has four or five different places to go to before having to cancel court, which you never want to do. Another number of other things were just mostly kind of run-of-the-mill type of things, printing authorization receipt of bids, construction supplies, recreation uniforms, janitorial services for town hall. But one of the things that's interesting is on here is the execution of agreements for lifeguard services for private beach associations. We have an excellent lifeguard program. Donovan Brown runs it, and Dan Santinello is the director of recreation. And because our lifeguards are so well trained and they're so organized, and just the entire program is such a great asset to our town, some of the private beach associations up on the ocean, rather than going out to contract with a company, they actually like to contract directly with the town because they feel that much more safe with our town trained lifeguards. And it's something we look at. We make sure that we're at least breaking even, if not making a little bit of money, which is what these agreements call for. We're actually going to be making little money off of it, but it is something we want to have our entire 2.8 miles of oceanfront protected in a great way. So not obviously our public beaches are always protected by our BRIC lifeguards, but also these private beach associations, because BRIC Township does such a great job. I mean, they can contract with anybody who they wanted to, but they actually choose to contract with us. And it's great because it gives the opportunity for more of our residents' children, to have lifeguarding jobs. And again, those are open. If you missed the beginning of the show, you can, you have to be at least 16 years old, and the township does train and certify you, and the applications are available online. That's something that we did agree to again this year, is to have our lifeguards provide those services, and it's all the regular lifeguarding rules apply at each of those beaches. There were a couple of ordinances which we passed on first reading besides the Foodtown Amendment, and they are dealing with some really land use issues. The first one is a building height ordinance. And we were having a little bit of problem. We've worked on it a couple times. The council has worked on it a few times, trying to get this building height ordinance correct. And it's really based upon the Sandy damage, and then the after Sandy, people have to raise their houses. Those new flood zones, which were coming regardless of Sandy, but the new flood zones, a lot of people who are substantially damaged are now have to do it automatic. They have to do it immediately in order to be in compliance, in order to get a CO to get back in their house. They either have to raise their houses on block, or they have to put them up on pilings. So there was a little confusion about the building height and where it should start, where it should end. So we this first reading last night, the building height is going to be corrected where it's going to be at your flood elevation and up, so that everybody can basically have your same house that you had before you had to elevate. You won't be restricted by the height ordinances. And you won't have to go to the Board of Adjustment. There's a problem where a lot of applications were being filed with the Board of Adjustment over height ordinances, where basically the same house was going back into the same footprint under our height ordinance. It was too tall because you were now putting the house up on pilings or had to lift it up. The other thing that we passed last night is conditional uses for OP and OPT zones. Just another kind of a not-so-exciting ordinance, but something that government has to do. There's a number of things that are on council meeting agendas that aren't the most exciting things in the world. I didn't even cover those here today. A number of things, such as canceling taxes and paying different bills. And the other ordinance here was exactly that. It was OP and OPT zones, which are our office professional zones here in town. We were just limiting some of the conditional uses that was allowed, just to make it, kind of firm that one up. And then also last night we had Mike Fowler, our township planner. He came in and he talked about our zoning map, and he did a great job presenting it. Our former zoning map, it was basically like a black and white, black and white map. And he was explaining how it used to be, whatever materials it used to be made out of over the years. When he made copies, some lines would disappear in the copier machine and things. And now with the advancement of computers, we have this great colored map now. It's different colors for all the different zones, because you have residential zones, commercial zones, this OP and OPT zone, and it's all color-coded, so it's really quick to be able to take a look at the map and see, green is this zone and red is that zone. So we're able to amend that and make that colored map with that computer graphics. That's now our official zoning map. rather than the old school black and white large drawing diagram things that you used to see in the old days. So just kind of updating our, you know, coming into the times here in town. Another event that's coming up is the BMAC Open Mic Night, which is on Friday, January 30th. It's from 7 o'clock to 9:30. It's at the Civic Plaza, and it's free to attend, and there's free drinks and snacks. This is our first event that BMAC is throwing since we had reinstated. We just started it off again. January 1st was the official kickoff of our BMAC committee, and that's the BRIC Municipal Alliance Committee, and it's a, kind of our drug awareness and education committee. It's an important committee. Councilwoman Andrea Zapsik was very instrumental in reinstating the committee and getting our grant money back from the county, and all that is happening. So it's an open mic night Friday, January 30th from 7 to 9:30 at the Civic Plaza. You get to come out. You get to show off your talent. You do have to register in person, either at the, you know, register in person at the Brick Township Recreation Office at 270 Chambers Bridge Road, or you can do it online at parksandrecreation.bricktownship.net. And it should be a fun night. And please, even if you don't have the talent, or you don't want to go up there, and maybe you're embarrassed for the first time, just come on out and listen to everybody. Because we're going to have a lot of different talented people come out and be able to sing that night. And it'll be great just to support not only the BMAC committee, but the actual individual performers. And hopefully it'll be a successful event where we have, you know, just our township performers come out and have a good time. Again, free drinks and food. All right, we do have a question that was posted up on Facebook. It's from Denise. Is our town prepared with enough salt if we get a really big storm? Okay, we're short on the bus stops. Okay, sorry about that. We got disconnected for a few seconds there. But basically the question was about salt. Yes, we do have enough salt. And we're good to go. And obviously, as you know, this year we haven't had many snowstorms. We did put down the salt brine one time so far in the winter of 2014-15. So we're fully stocked up in DPW yards. And also, as far as you know, getting the back roads done, we have a great system this year, which you know, luckily we haven't had to use yet. But we have not only our plows are out there, we have independent contractors that come in when it gets to be a certain depth, but also we have monitors that follow the various trucks to make sure they're actually doing what they're supposed to be doing. And we also have a GPS system that shows what streets have been done, what streets need to be done, and that's all located, you know, that's run by the computer. It's a GPS system, so we'll be able to tell right away. So if somebody calls in and says, you know, you forgot to plow Kelly Lynn Lane, you take a look and you're like, oh yeah, you're right, I don't know how the truck missed it, they went right around there, or you know what, the truck is right next door, it's on the next street over, and they'll be over there, you know, you're going to be seeing them in about 3 minutes, so whatever the answer may be. So it's a great GPS system that we have. We're able to track, hold our contractors accountable for making sure that they're plowing the snow that they're saying that they are plowing. There is a new business for Buy and Brick. It's DeSanto Electric. And they're offering a 7.5% rebate. So please sign up for the Buy and Brick program. Get your cards. There's been over $109,000 worth of sales to date in the Buy and Brick program. So businesses are seeing a difference, $109,000 in new sales for the businesses as part of Buy and Brick. And it's more and more businesses joining every day. So please get your card and enjoy Buying and Brick. And thank you for joining me here today for Talking Brick. And I'll talk to you again soon. Have a good day.